All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. Today is going to be a little bit of an interesting episode due to unforeseen circumstances. We do not have Mikey here with us. So this is going to be a little bit different type of an episode. It's going to be more of a sports talk show today. But before I get started, I just want to send my condolences out to the people in the state of Florida. My girlfriend, she has some family down there, so we're wishing all of them the best dealing with these hurricanes and tornadoes. And hopefully by the time this comes to you, all of that's figured out and everything winds up being all right, because it's a pretty scary situation down there. Yeah, it's just one of the biggest hurricanes, if not the biggest, to ever hit Florida and coming from the Gulf. So just want to send my wishes out to the people of Florida. All right, getting back to sports. I just want to say one thing about the Steelers game on Sunday night. The one that got delayed due to weather. Yeah, that's right. The one that I stayed up until about 1 o'clock in the morning watching just to lose in the final 20 seconds and to watch the Steelers head coach, Mike Tomlin, not even give them a chance to win the football game at the end because he completely mismanaged the time. But this is something that, as a Steelers fan, I'm getting used to. I mean, Mike Tomlin, get with the times, my friend. This is not early 2000s football anymore. I mean, this is 2024. All right, stop trying to think you can win playing defense and running the football. All right, there is a specific play in the game that I want to point out that really, really irked me and really bothered me the most. It was 3rd and 8 in the first quarter. Steelers were going in, and they had a backup running back in the game. Okay? Apparently, if this is true, it was a substitute teacher last year at a school in California. I don't know if it's true. It's just what I've heard. Okay, but they did a pitch play on a 3rd and 8 going inside the red zone to a guy who was supposedly a substitute teacher last year. Not even with Najee Harris. Not that Najee Harris has been good, but at least, you know, he's your starting running back. You know, what are we doing? Is this about winning football games, or is this about trying to... Is the goal here to win a Super Bowl, or is the goal here to just win enough games to get above 500 to keep your stretch going? Okay, because we really got to start asking ourselves these questions. The Steelers don't blow anybody out, okay? And I don't want to... There's no way that it's just solely because they don't have the talent, because granted, their wide receiving core this year is abysmal, okay? George Pickens, according to Mike Tomlin, isn't being benched. They're just managing his snap count. Don't even get me started with that, okay? Because Mike Tomlin has been lying a lot this year, saying that all the teams in football are managing their number one wide receiver's workload when that's just not true statistically. But is this about winning the Super Bowl, or is this about keeping your record alive? Because playing that type of football, I mean, the Carolina Panthers blew a team out this year. You're telling me the Carolina Panthers have more talent than the Pittsburgh Steelers? I can tell you the defense isn't better, that's for sure. All right? I mean, what are we doing here on the offensive side of the football? We have Justin Fields, okay, who looked pretty good throwing the ball down the field. All right, he did it on Sunday night, okay? He missed a couple of guys. But George Pickens is also dogging routes down the football field. He was called out by his teammates for it. So, Mike Tomlin, you have two options here. Go get Devontae Adams, who's sitting right there literally for the taking, okay? Second-round pick, restructure his contract, keep him here for 3 years. He's still in his prime right now. And even if he slows down, he's still going to be a big body receiver and a guy who can mentor George Pickens, because clearly they need a legitimate veteran inside the room. They need a legitimate veteran inside that locker room, especially on the offensive side of the football. They got Cam Hayward on the defensive side of the football. Okay, they got DJ Watt. Those are the mentors on the defensive side of the ball. But the offense is atrocious. I don't want to hear Russell Wilson being a mentor. Russell Wilson was moved out of Seattle. Russell Wilson was moved out of Denver. Clearly, Russell Wilson wasn't the issue in Denver. They're 3-2. I mean, clearly, Russell Wilson was the issue in Denver. They're 3-2. They're winning football games with a rookie quarterback. So that doesn't really bode well for Russell Wilson being a winning player at this point in his career. You got to stick with Justin Fields. You got to get him a second receiver, and you got to see what he is. Otherwise, the season's going to end, and you're going to be in the same exact position. Okay, no one's going to pay Justin Fields at the end of this year. Very like the quarterback situations throughout the NFL, everybody has their quarterback right now. At least that's what it feels like. And any team that's going to not have their quarterback is going to have a top five pick, and they're going to take a quarterback. So the Steelers are going to have no competition for Justin Fields next year in the offseason. Figure out what he is and figure out if you want to pay him. Don't give him $40 million a year, because we just saw what happens when you give a guy $40 million a year and he's really not that good. Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones had one good year. He got paid, and the Giants didn't have to pay him all that money, because besides the Jets, no team was offering him money. And the Jets had their eyes set on Aaron Rodgers. So it's safe to say that Daniel Jones robbed the New York Giants. And Daniel Jones isn't playing bad this year. But Daniel Jones is one hit away from never playing football again. I don't know why he's still playing. I get it. He loves the game. But just like Tua, why are you still playing with these head and neck injuries? It's not worth it. Especially on the Giants. The Giants aren't a good football team. Giants are a mediocre team at best. The defense is playing well this year. Okay. Malik Nabers is a stud. But Daniel Jones is not going to be with this team after this season. Unless they go on some type of an incredible run, which I don't see them going on. But unless they make it to the playoffs and win a playoff game, Daniel Jones is gone after this season. So it's an interesting predicament for the Pittsburgh Steelers to be in right now. If it was me, I'm riding it out with Justin Fields and I'm going to get Davante Adams. You know, TJ Watt's 30 years old. Running out of time here with the best defensive player in the world. Go get a guy and go try and, you know, win the Super Bowl. Change your offensive, change your philosophy from being a defensive play caller to being an offensive play caller. Okay? Go down the field, score touchdowns, win football games. If you turn the ball over once or twice during, you know, doing that, your defense is good enough to give it back to your offense. But unleash the offense a little bit. It's time. All right. That was my Steeler rant for the first couple of minutes of the show. Now, I want to get to a local team. Actually, two local teams. One of them was a very big game tonight. Actually, they both have a very big game tonight. But by the time you're hearing this, there is a very good chance that the New York Yankees are eliminated from the playoffs and that the Mets are moving on to the next round. The New York Yankees. I mean, listen, I'm a Yankee fan, okay? So I am going to absolutely root for my team. I'm going to be cheering for them is, you know, as hard as I can. You know, it affects me more than it affects anybody. But they are an abysmal baseball team. Starting lineup the other night had John Birdie playing first base in a playoff game for the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees, John Birdie. Okay? Now, let me tell you the issue that arises when you have a third baseman playing first base, a second baseman playing third base, okay? The infield is going to stink, okay? The infield is going to be absolutely atrocious at fielding ground balls, okay? There was a routine ground ball hit the Jazz Chisholm the other day. He threw it to first base, and the guys beat it out. It was a terrible throw, okay? He's not a third baseman. He's not. So you're gonna hinge your potential in the playoffs on playing. So I know it kind of sounds like I'm all over the place right now with the New York Yankees. That's just because I don't know where to start. Because I'm thinking about that, and then I'm thinking about how they're playing Alex Verdugo in left field over Jason Dominguez because of defense. And then I'm sitting here also saying that the defense in the infield is terrible because. I think I need to move on from the Yankees for a second, collect my thoughts and come back to it. So I'm going to move on to the Mets because the Mets are the most fun team in baseball right now. Okay, it's them and the Padres. They're the two clear teams that I think are on a collision course to meet in the NLCS. The Mets are a team of destiny. They just are. I mean, we've seen it since the Braves series, okay, when Lindor hit the home run, okay? And then we saw Pete Alonso come to life, which, by the way, I called that home run because that's just how sports works. The guy was getting bashed. It was potentially his last at bat as a Met. But sports has a funny way of just doing what you never think is going to happen. And Pete Alonso decided that he was going to, you know, be the hero in New York. And he did it again yesterday. Let off the game. I believe he homered yesterday. He homered in one of the games, I know that. So he's getting pretty hot, and he made himself at least $10 million during those three games here. And Another thing I want to say about the Mets, you could tell a team is a team of destiny when every inning that the other team has runners on, something crazy happens and they get out of it. Or they get the bases loaded like they did yesterday. The first two guys make out, and then the veteran Starlin Marte comes up and hits a base hit to center field and scores two runs and pretty much puts the game away for the Mets with the way their playoffs has been going. Yeah, speaking of base runners and not being able to, you know, score, the New York Yankees had the leadoff runner on 7 times in game 2. That runner never got to second base. Never. That's pretty pathetic. And Aaron Judge, where do I even start? I don't care. I don't care if you hit 162 home runs, Aaron Judge. If you're going to strike out at a 34.6 clip in the postseason and not come through and not get runners over, what good are you? Okay, just like with the Steelers, the name of the game isn't to win 110 games. Okay, the name of the game isn't to be the best player in the regular season and then turn into a pumpkin when October comes around. The name of every sport is to win that specific sports championship. Okay, and the Yankees just aren't doing that. Okay, they're not. They haven't done it for 15 years now. Okay, the Yankees should be walking to the World Series with no Houston and no Boston in it. They should manhandle KC, and they should manhandle whichever team, Detroit or Cleveland, that they play. But they're not going to, because the New York Yankees didn't do what it took to get the team to go to the World Series. They traded for Mark Leiter, Jazz Chisholm, and Eniel De Los Santos, or however you... I don't remember his name. It was De Los Santos, Enoy, something like that. He was gone within 3 weeks, okay? Mark Leiter is not on the playoff roster, and Jazz Chisholm's playing out of position. And don't get me wrong, Jazz Chisholm's a great baseball player. He's not a great fundamental baseball player, okay? He's got a lot of swing and miss in his bat, and he's playing out of position right now, okay? But those three guys at the deadline, one of them is on the playoff roster. When you have glaring holes in the starting rotation, clearly you're starting Clark Schmidt tonight over Luis Gil. Granted, Clark Schmidt has been good, but Luis Gil was your best pitcher in the regular season. He was. He was your best pitcher, okay? And you're not. He hasn't pitched yet in the playoffs. That's embarrassing. Aaron Boone leaves lefties in like Austin Wells and Alex Verdugo to face tough lefties late in the game. Okay, and even if it works, just because it works doesn't mean it's the right move. It just doesn't. It doesn't mean it's the right move. It means you got lucky. Something that Aaron Boone has been getting a lot of since he took over as the Yankees manager. And quite frankly, it's the only reason why he's still the coach. Okay? I was hoping that Aaron Boone would get fired last year. Yankees were 82-82. That didn't happen. So, if the Yankees lose the next two games and they're eliminated, Aaron Boone's not getting fired. I thought he was getting fired last year, and they extended him an extra 3 years. That's crazy. That's crazy. He has not gotten as far into the playoffs as he did when he took over for Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi got to Game 7 of the ALCS against the Houston Astros. They were one game away from the World Series, and they didn't bring him back. Instead, they brought in Aaron Boone, who has yet to get that close. Aaron Boone has not came within a game of the World Series since he's become the Yankees manager. So, what's the common denominator here? Yes, I know the players have to play, but Brian Cashman also has to be held accountable for not going out and getting the proper players that they need to put on the baseball field. It's just a disgrace. I expect the Yankees to lose to the Royals. Hope I'm wrong, but I expect them to lose. Quite frankly, the New York Yankees may not be playing another game in New York in 2024. All right. So, fantasy part of this show is going to be fantasy basketball. I'm going to discuss some of the reasons why I would take Nikola Jokic over Victor Wembanyama, at least as of right now. I have the first pick in my fantasy basketball draft. So that is the predicament that I'm in. who do I take? Victor Wembanyama or Nikola Jokic? It's very, very hard to not take Nikola Jokic, who is a triple-double every single night, and I know he's going to play. Okay, I'm a little worried about Greg Popovich and his load management and Victor Wembanyama. I know it's his second year now, but still, it scares me a little bit. And if they're not a good team, who knows, you know, how long he plays. But those are the two clear top two picks this year in fantasy basketball, followed by Luka Doncic. It's very obvious that those are the top three picks in the draft. It's really difficult to say on who I would. It's tough because Victor Wembanyama offers so much potential that we have never seen before with his blocks. Okay, this is a points league that I'm in a rotisserie league, in a roto league, in a category league. I still think you got to take Nikola Jokic number one overall for sure, because you can get guys that will get blocks in the later rounds. But if you have Victor Wembanyama, odds are you're probably going to be leading in blocks. So you're going to win one category. So that's that right there. But I'm still also a little worried about a sophomore slump. You know, that's something that we usually see in baseball. We usually see sophomore slumps in baseball. Not so much in basketball, but we saw it with Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole kind of fell off the face of the planet, and then he came back, but he wasn't very efficient. It's a little concerning that Chris Paul is there now, because I know the ball's going to be in his hand. I don't know how that's going to help or hurt Victor Wembanyama. Could help him, because it could take the defense's attention, you know, completely away from him. I expect them to be a good team. But expectations and reality are two different things. Okay, Jeremy Sochan is a good player. Okay, they have Harrison Barnes now. They have a nice combination of old and young. But like I said, expectation and reality are two different things. Okay, just like with Mike Tomlin in football, Greg Popovich in basketball, maybe, just maybe, the game is outgrowing him. Because if we look at basketball, basketball is a major problem. There is zero defense ever played in a basketball game. Points are through the roof. Okay, just as early as, I believe it was 2013, the highest average point scored in a game was about 95. Now it's like 115. I mean, that's crazy. Okay, Steph Curry changed the game. Okay, he brought the three-point line into the game more than, you know, any other player ever did. Okay, but still. Guys have become lazy. They don't care enough. And a large part of that is money. Basketball players make a lot of money. It's just like every sport. But basketball specifically, in an 82-game season where more than 90%, where it feels like more than 90% of the league makes the playoffs, why would anybody care about a regular season game? You know, you have bench guys making $10 million a year. You know, besides for people chasing legacy like LeBron James and Kevin Durant and guys like that, why would you care? It's a game that you play for 3 hours, max. 3 hours max on a night. Why would you care if you won or lost in a game that didn't really matter when you're going home to, you know, $1 million mansion and a great life? And is it really going to upset you? The reason why sports were so great back in the 80s and 90s is because, you know, guys, for the most part, they had jobs outside of their sport. So it mattered to them. They were doing it to win. I don't think basketball players and players in sports in general, unless you're chasing legacy, I mean, there's a select few, but a lot of them now just don't care. And it's affecting the product that we get on the field, the court. You know, I give hockey players a lot of credit because I feel like hockey is the only sport where the players actually care, where they actually want to win. Guys lose in football, and the next day they're in Cancun. As a fan, fans, those losses sit with fans forever. The guys playing on the team are over it. Literally. Literally, right after the game, they're over it. They're like, all right, let's go to Cancun, let's go to the Bahamas, let's go on vacation. Sports is a major problem. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know where, you know, you could start to even potentially think about fixing it. Why would anybody in defense play basketball? What can you possibly do? The only thing I could think of, and they're doing quite the opposite, is to limit the amount of teams that make the playoffs in each sport. But all three major sports, baseball, basketball, and football, have extended their playoff formats in recent years. It's crazy. Makes it unfun. You play 162 games in a baseball season. For what? Half the league makes it. Why does it matter? All you got to do is get in. Look at Detroit. Detroit was 8 games under 500 before August 1st. Now they're 2 games away from going to the ALCS. Fans pay hundreds of dollars to go to the ballpark with their families. Spend $15 on a hot dog. $5 on a bottle of water. They don't even get a good product on the field sometimes. Sports as a whole has a much bigger problem than you might think. Where do they turn from here? I don't know. The NFL is trying to expand to different countries. Does that solve the problem? I don't know. In baseball, you have the Athletics leaving Oakland, where there's real fans. You took the Raiders out of Oakland, where there's real fans. You took the Chargers out of San Diego, where there's real fans. It's all about money. It's all about gambling. That's all these leagues care about. It has nothing to do with the fandom. There's no fans in Los Angeles for the Chargers. I feel like 70% of the time, there's more of the opposing team's fans inside their stadium for home games. You got teams moving to Vegas. It's crazy. It's all about money. It's all about gambling. Money is ruining sports. Has been for years. It's even doing it in college. Even though I think that the college players do deserve, you know, to get paid for the most part. Should just be very, very interesting next couple of years in sports to see where the sports world turns. Speaking of turns, I'm going to turn now into my picks of the week. Mikey's not here, so I do not have Mikey's picks. I don't know how he did last week. Probably not very good. Sorry, Mikey. But, all right. Here we go. We have CJ Keeling's picks. Remember, if you want to make your picks, go to foxsportsnewjersey.com. Sign up today with your email and make your picks. All right, so Thursday night. Again, this will be coming to you after, so let's see if I can see into the future. I'm telling you that the Seattle Seahawks are going to cover the spread. Are they going to win? I don't know. I think that game is going to be very close. Spread's 3.5. It's in Seattle. Seattle's coming off a very bad loss to the Giants. The 49ers are coming off of a horrific loss to the Cardinals. These are two teams that are hungry. It's a divisional game. I expect it to be very, very close. That being said, I'm going to take Seattle at home. Moving on now to the game in London, 9:30 a.m. It is not the Jets and head coach Robert Saleh, who is no longer there. It is the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to say the Jaguars get the best of the Bears in London. I'm going to say the Jaguars get their second win of the year. Spread's 2.5 for the Bears. I'm taking the Jaguars. Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go into the Derek Carlisle New Orleans Saints. I'm going to take the Buccaneers here. I don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Saints. It's probably going to be Spencer Rattler. I'm taking the Buccaneers in a full healthy squad. Then we got Kyler Murray going in the Green Bay to take on Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. The spread's 5.5 for the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to say the Packers win, but Arizona covers. Actually, you know what? No. I'm changing my pick. Arizona is going to beat Green Bay in Green Bay. Kyler Murray is going to continue. They're going to follow up a big win against San Francisco into a big win on the road in Green Bay. Now, we don't know who's going to start a quarterback here for this next game. We've got the Colts and the Titans. Both teams have quarterback questions. We don't know if it's going to be Will Levis. We don't know if it's going to be Mason Rudolph. We don't know if it's going to be Joe Flacco. We don't know if it's going to be Anthony Richardson. So it's hard to pick. That's why the spread is basically even. I do think the Colts have the better team, so I'm going to take the Colts, regardless of who's playing quarterback. We got Deshaun Watson going into Philly to take on Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Deshaun Watson, I don't know how much longer he could be quarterback. This is a huge spread. It's 9.5. I can't believe I'm going to do this. I really can't believe it, but I have to believe that they are going to win a game eventually. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns, huge underdogs in Philadelphia. I'm going to say they get it right this week. Houston Texans going in to New England to take on newly starting quarterback Drake May, third overall pick in the draft. Texans are without Nico Collins, who was just placed on IR today, Tuesday. I'm sorry, Wednesday. It's not Tuesday. Today is Wednesday. Nico Collins just placed on IR. I'm going to take the Texans, even though I think Drake May perform pretty well. The Washington Commanders and the Baltimore Ravens. Whew, this is a huge, huge spread. 6.5 in Baltimore. That's kind of crazy considering Jaden Daniels has looked like the MVP this season. I'm taking the Commanders. Baltimore got lucky last week. Okay, I'm going with Washington in this one. And we're going to see what Jaden Daniels is really made of. All right, heading into the 4 o'clock games. Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh Steelers, hopefully it's Justin Fields, versus either Aiden O'Connell and the Las Vegas Raiders or Gardner Minshew and the Las Vegas Raiders. We don't know who's going to start a quarterback. It is reported that they are going to duel it out throughout the week to see who's going to start for them. Will the Raiders trade Davante Adams to the Pittsburgh Steelers? I do not think so. I do not think it will happen this week. I am a little bit more confident in it now than I was last week that Davante Adams will be a Pittsburgh Steeler because a trade has not happened yet. I do not think that the Raiders would trade Davante Adams to the Steelers the week they are playing them. So I think after this game, you could see trade talks between the Steelers and the Raiders heat up. That being said, Steelers improved to 4-2. The Chargers and the Broncos. Chargers, LA's going into a road tilt against Denver. This is a tough game to pick. Chargers are 3-point favorites. I'm going to take the home team, Denver, as they stay hot and win their fourth straight. We have Atlanta going into Carolina. I'm going to take Carolina. We got the Lions going into Dallas. This is an interesting one. Dallas is dogs by 3 points. I'm going to take the Lions, even though I wouldn't be shocked if the Cowboys win. And on Sunday Night Football, you have the Cincinnati Bengals and the New York Giants. I'm going to take the Bengals. I think the Bengals get right again. I think everyone's going to be on the Giants because they just beat Seattle in Seattle. So I'm going to say that the Giants lose at home to the Bengals. Moving on, Monday night, the Bills and the Jets. It's only been about 380-something days since the Bills played the Jets on Monday Night Football and Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles. This is a different game with more stuff going on as Robert Saleh was let go by the Jets. I do think the Jets get it right on Monday night. I do think the Jets will beat Buffalo. I think teams respond well when something drastic like that happens, whether it's a quarterback change or a head coaching change. So I will not be surprised when the Jets win. I'm taking the Jets to win at home against the Buffalo Bills. And those are my picks of the week. I hope you guys are out there making picks. I hope you guys are doing well at your picks. I hope you're doing better than Mikey. Hopefully Mikey is back with us next week. And that is going to do it for today's show. I know it was a little bit all over the place, okay? Some last second unforeseen circumstances happened, but we're happy that we're able to still get you a show. Okay, again, my condolences and prayers go out to the people in Florida right now suffering from these hurricanes. We hope that everything is better by the time the show comes to you. We hope that everything winds up being all right. That being said, thank you for another episode of Keeling's Corner. We'll see you next week. Keeling's Corner, out.